It's always so good to be here. I feel so much at home with all your love and your support and your kindness towards me. Thank you, worship team. Pardon? The children are dismissed. Looks like there's nobody here. So they've already been dismissed. And it's a special day for me, too, because today my dad is going to hear me speak for the first time, too. So... today I'm going to speak about embracing the process. This is the journey that I've been in the last 3 years. Process is actually a series of action or steps taken to achieve a particular end. In the past, I didn't like the word process. When I heard the word, it meant hardship. It meant waiting for a long time, not knowing what was going to happen. And it meant work. It meant hard work. And I just didn't like it. But now I've learned to embrace it. In our walk with the Lord, the process is a series of steps that takes us from where we are to where God wants us to be. Our life is a journey. It has its ups and downs. It has its crooked and straight paths. It has meadows and thorns, different seasons, and sadness and joy. Romans 14:17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So is it then possible to remain in this kingdom realm where there is peace and joy at all times? The answer is yes. We enter into God's kingdom when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He becomes our King. Philippians 2:13 says that it is God who works in us to will and to act on behalf of his good pleasure. This is a process that God is involved in. He initiates the process and he carries us through. He changes us from glory to glory. He changes our view and opinion of situation and circumstances to his view and opinion. His plan for us is to make us and mold us in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we would represent him really well here on earth. He longs to have this continual fellowship with us. It is in embracing this journey that we get to know Lord the way we want to. We know him as our healer. We get to know him as our comforter. We get to know him as our warrior king. We get to know him as our peace. And the more we get to know him, we become confident in who we are to him and who he is to us and his love for us. So when we accept Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we know that our destination is heaven. While in some ways and in some sense that is true, I believe our journey is the destination. It is when we embrace the journey that our life gets fuller and richer. And each of us have our own unique journey. And many a times we are comfortable and happy when we know where we are going and what the path in front of us is. But a lot of times we do not know the path. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And life is filled with uncertainties. While I was preparing for this message, I came across the adventures of Sir Alexander Mackenzie. He's regarded as one of the best among the Canadian explorers of the 18th century. He was actually the first European to traverse the entire North America from east to west. He was a fur trader, but his desire or passion was to find a route to the Pacific Ocean so that he could enhance his fur trading capabilities. So in 1789, at the age of 21, he was offered a job at the Northwest with the Northwest Company based in Athabasca Lake. He put together a team consisting of a Chipewyan chief, his two wives, four Canadian voyagers, servants and hunters, and started out the journey by canoes. All he had was a compass and some knowledge of astronomy. He had a rough map that his predecessor had given him, and he thought, with this, I'm going to start on a journey. And this is what the map looked like. So if you can see here, there is nothing much in the area of Athabasca. There's hardly anything. But one thing about Alexander Mackenzie was he was always curious to hear the stories from the indigenous people of what they knew, and he was always ready to change course as need be. So he did learn that there was a great river and a great lake, and if he could follow that river, it could take him to the Pacific Ocean. So he found out that, you know, the map was not helpful. He would go for days only to turn around because it was a dead end. Or he would canoe for 50 miles in a day, knowing that he was in a wrong route, and he would start all over again. He did not have any Google Maps or satellite images to follow, and all he did was just trust his instincts, and he just followed him. He did not know where his next food or water supply was going to be. Though they carried some basic stuff in his canoes, they depended on the hunters to provide them. There was sheer physical exhaustion of paddling, the freezing cold, the northern winds, the icy weather, and the mosquitoes did not help him either. At one point where the river split, he took a turn, and he actually ended up going to the Arctic Ocean. And he was the first one who ended up going to the Arctic Ocean. He was so disappointed that he called the lake, or he called the river, the Disappointment River. This later came to be known as the Mackenzie River after his own name, and it's one of the longest river basins in Canada. He realized that his compass was so many degrees out, and he didn't have much skills, so he went back to England for a year to develop his skills for navigation and astronomy. And then he returned back in 1793. He wanted to pursue his dream at all costs. He traveled for days with no end in sight. He reached Bella Coola. His fellow men were getting tired and discouraged. They heard stories of Eskimos trying to kill them if they traveled any further. Fear came upon them, and they wanted to turn back. He had to persuade them to just push through, and the current was not in his favor. But he did push through, and he came to the mouth of the Fraser River, where he turned to the ocean, and he set up a memorial there. He walked off the map. There was no map. He created one as he went along. Many a times our lives are like that of Mackenzie. There's no path to follow. There's hardships, there's disappointments, there's discouragements, and no fulfillment sometimes of God's promise in sight. But there are also victories and joy and peace and fulfillment in our journey. It is a journey. And the Bible is filled with stories of people who walked off the map. In Genesis 12:1, God tells Abraham, "Leave your country, your relatives, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, that you will be a blessing." Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he just takes off, trusting God. He lies, cheats, tries to make the promise happen on his own strength, and he fails miserably. But he still believed that the one who promised was faithful, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And Noah, he did not have any blueprint to build an ark. It was a wicked generation at that time, and he was mocked for building the ark. He didn't know where the rain would come or the flood would come, where he would land, but he knew the one who promised. And so was Joseph. He had dreams that his siblings, sun, moon, and the stars were bowing before him. When he shared this, he was in trouble. He was sold as a slave. He was falsely accused. He ran away from Potiphar's wife, ended up in prison before he ended up in the palace, placed second to the Pharaoh. He did not know the path, but he knew the one who promised was faithful. And so is it with Moses. He knew he was called to be the deliverer of his people, and he tries to do it in his own strength, and he fails miserably, and he runs away from the Pharaoh and spends 40 years in wilderness. And, you know, God entrusted him to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land. In Exodus 33:15, Moses tells God, "If your presence does not go with me, do not lead us up here." So he knew he carried God's presence, and he depended on God's presence to follow him, to help him find the path. And it is said that he was a friend of God. He walked with God. Such is the story of Daniel, of Gideon, and many others. They did not have any map. Life was full of uncertainties, but they knew the one who promised was faithful. So these are the stories of Old Testament where people had a word from the Lord given to them by through angels or through prophets. In the New Testament, we have Paul. He did not have a map, but he had the living God inside of him. His life was full of adventures. After his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, he became blind. He reached Damascus, he fasted and prayed, and Ananias, led by the Spirit of God, came and prayed for him, and he received sight. He got baptized and started boldly proclaiming and debating the gospel. The Jews plotted to kill him. The disciples did not trust him, and some believers had to pretty much help him escape and sent him off to Tarsus. And it says that there was a great peace that came upon the city after he left. He was in Arabia for 3 years before coming to Jerusalem to actually meet the disciples. He was shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead. But in his second letter to Corinthians, he says, from 11:24 to 28, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. His life sure was not boring. It was full of uncertainties. It was full of adventures. But it is Paul who said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm content in all things. Christ in me is the hope of glory. He learned to embrace his journey with the Lord. And it is in Philippians 4:4-7, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be apparent to all. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. He was able to abide in Christ. He was able to abide in the kingdom realm of peace, joy, and righteousness. Many a times our lives feel like an exploration. We have the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ, but we do not know how to get there. We try to control the process, sometimes even suggesting to God how he should make it happen, but it doesn't go that way. And embracing the process does not mean we give up and we say, okay, Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be. But what it means is yielding our heart, trusting the Lord, releasing the situation, and believing from a place of rest, knowing that the Lord who promised is always faithful. And sometimes, you know, out of curiosity, we could ask the Lord, Lord, I wonder how you're going to work this through. And that gives an opportunity for the Lord to intervene rather than our own ways or our own intentions of how it's going to come to pass. In John 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. This is very reassuring where, yes, there will be trials. Yes, there will be frustrations, but it has no power to harm me or have a hold over me. I can be an overcomer because of him who overcame. So how then do we navigate through life? How do we follow him? Hebrews 1:1-2 says, on the past many occasions and in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. His Holy Spirit lives within us. I believe one of the primary ways God connects with us, or we connect with God, is through our hearts. When we accept Christ, He gives us a new heart and a new spirit, and He removes a heart of stone and gives a heart of flesh, from Ezekiel 36:26. So when I started this journey of connecting with God from my heart probably 8 or 9 years ago, it's been a process. But the last 3 years have been quite a challenging time for me, with the death of my mom, with my illness and the marriage. And through it all, the Lord has been faithful. And there are many a days I would wake up and I would think, how am I even going to get through this day? But His mercy and His grace falls new and fresh each day, that the end of the day, I could put my head down on the pillow and say, it was a good day, and have peace and joy and a clear conscience and go to sleep. Isaiah 51:12 says, I am the one who comforts you. There are very few places in the scripture where God affirms Himself twice, and this is one of the places where He says, yes, I am the one who comforts. He's the one who comforts. I have known and experienced His comfort more than anything else, and He has been my comforter through this journey. So fully convinced that the Lord wanted all of my heart, I started this new journey. And before, my heart would look something like this. If you're not able to see, there was a little bit of sadness, a little bit of fear, a little bit of grief, frustration, anger. And there are people that I held in my heart, my kids, spouse, disappointment, and all of those. And you know, when we pray, I ask God, you know, bless me with this, or bless people with this, and so on. And this day I asked the Lord, what can I give you today? And the first day He said was the fear of future. And Lord, I said, Lord, I do want to let this go, but I do not know how to. Would you help me and make that real to me? And I started meditating and pondering and reflecting on the truth that He is a God who holds my future. His plan for me is to prosper me. My path will only get better and better, because the path of the righteous is brighter by the day. I do not know how it happened, but by the end of the day, the fear was gone and it was replaced by Jesus. That's the power of His grace, His ability to work in our hearts when we are not able to let go of those stuff. The second day, it was the acreage. The third day, it was the sadness, and the journey kept going, just replacing by Jesus. And, you know, many a times our emotions are good signals to know what is bothering us for the day. And those are the times to take it to God and say, Lord, I do not know how to handle this. Would you change? Would you make it real? When I do this, when my heart is replaced with Christ, I do not have to strive to find peace or to find joy. I can abide, and peace and joy automatically becomes my portion. Yes, I do get out of that place, but then I'm quick to enter it again. And sometimes the healing happens in layers. First, there may be a layer that He shows, and then could be a totally different layer with a lot of different things that we carry in our hearts. So this realm of righteousness, peace, and joy persists and is everlasting from now to eternity. The uncertainties are still there, but I am confident in who I am and who God is to me. Then all the fears vanish and peace remains. The Lord who promised is faithful. My heart becomes merry and my heart becomes harmonized with His plan and with Him. So I do have some homework for you. Wayne and Angela are going to hand over a sheet of paper. It has a shape of a heart. I would like you to take it home, take some time to yourself, quieten yourself down, and just see what your heart looks like. Ask the Lord to show you what your heart looks like. It may have some anger. It may have some past successes, holding on to past successes. It may have kids, may have problems. It may have the worry of the finances or the different fears. And that may be a good start point of a journey where those things that hold our heart and tug our heart are replaced with Christ. When it's replaced with Christ, all that you need flows out of him, and all his provisions automatically becomes a reality because we live in that realm. And all he requires of us is an yielding heart, a humble heart, a teachable heart, a repentant heart. What does that mean? A heart that says, I am willing to let go of my view and opinions, and I'm surrendering to your view and opinion, and let that and allow that to happen. So that's my story. So embrace the process and journey of life. It is in this that we get to know in the Lord intimately. It is in this that we are transformed from glory to glory. It is in this that we have perfect peace and joy. It is in this process that we become confident, certain, and undaunted. I love the word undaunted. It says not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment. We all love to live a life that is undaunted by things that come our way. Jesus has overcome the world. He has deprived it of its power to harm you and me and have conquered it for us. So my prayer for each of you today is that if you haven't started this journey with the Lord, please do. It's worth. It's very rewarding, and he's always faithful. And if your heart is heavy with lots of things that you carry regarding just the various things that have happened in your life or the future and the fears that it holds and the uncertainties, this is a journey to start where your heart is replaced with Christ. Christ comes and invades all of our hearts. So that's what I have for each of you today. And if you need prayer in this regard, you're more than welcome to come forward, and we would be happy to pray for you. Thank you.